Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign,
you reign,
you ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh,
you are mighty on your throne.
You reign, you reign.
Be the same again. Thank you for the great things you've done, and thank you for the great things you are doing, and even the greater things you will yet do. We align with you tonight in faith and in obedience to your word and to the leading of your spirit. We ask that you shift us from one level of glory to another, even as you equip us to advance your kingdom. Take all the glory. Take all the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much, choir. God bless you. We are considering a very sensitive subject, enlargement, or enlarging the place of your dwelling, or enlarging your territory. The Bible said, though thy beginning be small, he said, but thy latter end shall greatly increase. It's not a crime to begin small, but it's a crime to finish small. The assignment God has given to us and the scope and magnitude of what God will have us do as agents of the kingdom on the face of the earth, it's not just global. It's also transgenerational. And so when we are talking about capacity increase, we are looking at it on different fronts and from different spheres. You should not just increase to a point where you affect your globe or your generation. You should also increase in a way that your impact outlives you. The Bible speaking He said, though you were despised and no one went through you, he said, but you shall be an eternal excellency, the joy of many generations. And so what God has in mind is not just for a people that will be big, taking over and occupying until he comes, but a people with impact that defies and transcends time. In Genesis chapter 1, from verse 26, it says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And he said, let them have dominion. If you study the book of Genesis critically, there were five things God gave to man when he created man. The first thing God gave man was his nature, which is also the glory of the Father. He said, let us make man in our own image. And so if you are studying creatures and you attempt to study man, every specimen you consider will be an error until you study God. So the only way you can understand man in his original essence is to understand God. Because man was created from an original blueprint, which is God himself. This is why the propensities of man are in the order and in the class of God. Because he was created in the image of God. In John 10:34-35, Jesus speaking, he said, it is written in your law, ye are gods, because you are the children of the Most High. And he said, if it is written about you that you are gods, you to whom the scriptures came and the scriptures cannot be broken. And so the things that were uttered were eternal. That we are in the order of God. I know some of us here judge our possibilities after human mentors. Human mentors are there to inspire you to find yourself. No mentor is enough, an enough blueprint for you to model after. Mentors are just there to activate you. The only one you should look after, up to and to mirror after is God. Because your mentor, as effective as he may be, also has limitations he's here to conquer. And so if you swallow him or copy after him wholeheartedly, you will also copy his limitation. And so mentors are not designed or are not motivated or intended to lead us after themselves. They are actually to point us to God. Because everybody is to mirror after the order of God. Because we were created in the image of God. The second thing that was given to us at creation is the likeness of God. And the likeness of God is the character of God. And so man was created to effuse and to showcase the characteristics of God. And so if God demonstrates power, man of necessity will demonstrate power. If God is righteous, man of necessity will be righteous. And so the life we live is actually an attempt to communicate what we represent. And what we represent is the Creator himself. That's why he said, you were fearfully and wonderfully made. He said in Isaiah chapter 18 verse 8, he said, I and the children that the Lord has given to me. He said, we are for signs and we are for wonders. That means our manifestation is in the order of God. Because we were created in his likeness. The third thing that was given to us in Genesis chapter 1, 2 and 3, as you will study man in his originality from these three chapters, is the presence of God. We were allowed to live from the presence. And so the Bible said, in the cool of the day, the voice of God came walking in the garden because daily God had intercourse with the man. And it is from the presence of God, man learns creativity and invention. Because he was created to pattern the earth after the order of the heavens. God was not intending us to create or to make anything on earth that is not existent in heaven. Our job is actually to download heaven to earth. Because the first thing that was created on the earth is a garden called Eden. And Eden was actually planted. Eden existed in the mountain of God. And so when man is inventing, God expects him to model heaven on earth. This is why all the creations that God is directly involved in, he insists that it is built according to the patterns that were revealed on the mount. Because man was expected to download heaven to earth. So God can come to earth and man can go to heaven. When you pray, you are actually ascending to heaven. And when you have an encounter, God is actually descending to earth. And so what God wants to do is to bridge heaven and earth together. So much so that when the Father shows up on earth, it will be as though he's still in heaven. So man was permitted to live from the confines of the presence of God. The fourth thing God allowed man to have was his life. His life. And so God planted a tree in the midst of the garden in Genesis 2:9. And he said, man should eat of that tree. Because as he eats of that tree, he will metamorphose into God in the flesh. Man was not supposed to look like God only in the spirit. Man was actually supposed to look like God even in the flesh. And this is why at the rapture, our bodies, our vile bodies will be changed. Because man is supposed to model God spirit, soul, and body. The reason he was to eat of the tree of life was to metamorphose and to be glorified. Because as you journey in transformation, you will notice that it begins from mortification, where you bring the flesh under government, into renewal, where you begin to think, see, and act like God, into transubstantiation, where the body literally is changed and you are clothed with your heavenly bodies. In fact, one of Paul's ambition on earth while he was yet walking was to be transfigured, like Jesus was transfigured, like Stephen was transfigured, like Moses was transfigured. And so in 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 1 to 3, Paul said we have a heavenly tabernacle. And he said, because we long to be clothed with this tabernacle, we groan day and night. So Paul wanted to literally transfigure and to walk into glory. That was one of his greatest ambitions. And the reason that is possible is the fact that the life of God is currently on your inside. So God expects you to draw from that life. As you keep drawing from that life, a point comes where you literally become glorified. Like Jesus was praying on the mountain, the Bible said the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment began to glister. When Stephen was about to be stoned to death, the Bible said he looked to heaven and his face became like the face of an angel. So that possibility exists and it was gifted us in the garden. But unfortunately, man didn't take advantage of that tree. He went to eat another type of tree. What a body. Man is a creature. What a creature. But when Jesus returned, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. So God insists that the life of God should be socketed into us. Now, these first four things I've mentioned are all about you. And so, who you are is superior to what you do. Because out of the five things God gave us, four is about making you. Now, when God succeeds in making you, God now begins to use you to conquer territories for him. And so when he gave man these four things, the fifth thing he gave man was in verse 28. He said, let them have dominion. And God's idea of dominion is enlargement and occupying the earth realm until the earth becomes like the heaven. And so he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion. And so the subject of this conference is to bring us back to that original mandate of taking over. No matter how effective you are, if you are small, your impact will be small. Because your impact is directly proportional to the degree of your enlargement. And so enlargement has to do with multiplication. Enlargement has to do with fruitfulness. Enlargement has to do with subduing. Enlargement has to do with replenishing. And so if there's any good thing on your inside, that thing should be reproducible. It shouldn't die. If there is any grace you carry, that grace should not die. That is what replenishing means. When one is exhausted, another appears. But over and above replenishing, there is also multiplication. And so you are not only replenishing what you have, you are able to multiply it to increase. Somebody gave a very vital illustration. He said, most of the global brands, they began by replenishing it. That's what you call a patent. You do something, you are able to repeat it or replenish it. So if you drink Coke today and you drink Coke tomorrow, it won't be different. The Coke remains the same. When you exhaust it, you can produce the same thing with the same formula, same consecration, same taste, everything same. But if you are repeating it, it will not translate to impact until you are able to multiply what you are repeating. And so you replenish and then you multiply. Now that you are multiplying, you begin to dominate. Because a point comes, every other person depends on you. And so when we are talking enlargement, we are looking at a kingdom strategy of taking over. Enlargement is not just for your life to become better. Enlargement is actually an attempt of God to replenish the things He's put in you, to multiply those things until you subdue and you have dominion. So your sphere of influence becomes heaven on earth. And God will have a say there. The church we are seated in tonight, for example, what we are doing here, we've been doing for many years. Pastor is able to reproduce people with character, people that understand the word of God, people that have capacity, so much so that if he's not around, you can meet somebody else and he will deliver what pastor would have delivered. And then a point comes, you now discover this same thing happening here is happening in Lagos. You now discover this same thing happening here is happening in Canada. This same thing happening here. A point will come, you cannot but recognize him. So you have migrated from replenishing to multiplication to subduing. And the whole idea behind enlargement is not just that you are big, it's that you are having dominion. And the reason you are having dominion is so that the kingdom of God can advance. And so this conference is to open our eyes to the spiritual principles and laws that makes for that kind of dominion. The dominion that is predicated upon enlargement. There are many strands of dominion. There's a dominion that is tied to peculiarity or rareness. Diamond doesn't need to be many. But because of the rare nature of diamond, diamond is a force. So there is a dominion that is tied to how rare you are. But for this conference, we are looking at the kind of dominion that comes because capacity is being enlarged. And this kind of dominion, I said, is not gifted. This kind of dominion is worked because it's a process that you give yourself to. It's not something that happens by chance. It's something that is deliberately orchestrated. This is why very few people are making impact. If you took a census today, 99% of the people you meet, including the ones you know as fools, are willing to dominate. The problem is they don't know how. Ask a charlatan on the road. He will tell you he wants to take over. He will rule this world. The problem is not that tall ambition. The problem is he lacks understanding of how it works. And even if he has it, he doesn't have the discipline to commit to those things known in order to become. And so this is one conference that wants to open your eyes to the things you must do and also to help you through the instrumentality of grace to imbibe the discipline required in order to make those things happen. Else, old age will meet you and it will come really fast. You will look at the mirror and discover there are strands of white hair. And you wonder, where are these gray hair coming from? If you've not started making impact, then quickly reach out for dye. Because the gray hair will put pressure on you. So quickly reach out for dye and dye your hair. And then go back to do what you need to do quickly. Uh-huh. Some years ago, I discovered life will be meaningless if one doesn't make impact. And so I began studying around what it takes to make impact. Because I had this wrong notion that there's an age you must get to before you make impact. I was looking at maybe 45 or 50. By the time you get there, people will respect you because your face is bigger, your chest is bigger, and when you come, until God began to open my understanding that age is not a factor in this matter. I thought, okay, because I'm a man, I have some advantages. At least my masculine future and the fact that society regards men. And my eyes was further open that the largest number of fools on earth are men. It doesn't take gender. It doesn't take gender. It takes understanding and discipline. If you don't know, you can't become. And if you know and you are not committed to it, you can't still become. So there are things you must know and be committed to become. And so on Sunday, I outlined 6 of them. And I said, number 1 is growth. There are things that will only be committed to you when you grow. And I said, growth is not tied to time or age. It's tied to responsibility. The kind of responsibility you can handle is what determines your level of maturity. He said, the heir, so long as he's a child, is not different from a servant, though he be Lord of all. And so God places him under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. The word child, there's the word nepios. It means lacking understanding. And so a man who lacks understanding, even if he's 70 years old, is a child. Because there are some men wearing pampers in the spirit. It's only in the natural that children wear pampers. In the spirit, you can be 70 years old. If you don't have understanding, you are in nepios. And because you are in nepios, you are wearing pampers. And so God will place you under tutors and governor. Because unless understanding comes, you can never be permitted to handle kingdom. And I said the raw material for growth is the word of God and the presence of God. The presence of God affords you the opportunity to learn through the motions and the dynamics of the Holy Ghost. And then the word of God gives you instructions that builds your spirit. And so when you find a people who don't give themselves to prayer until the presence of God crystallizes into their atmosphere, or give themselves to the study of the word, they will never grow in the things of God. And if they don't grow, they will never be enlarged. Because enlargement is actually dominion. Number 2, I said it takes warfare to be enlarged. Because there are many forces that will negate your progress. You won't know. You will think the devil is not aware of you. Demons and spirits are moving, hovering everywhere, searching. They may allow you because you are not taking any step that looks as if you are going anywhere. The moment you start taking steps that suggest you are headed somewhere, they will start mobilizing spirits in your direction. Start reading. Start praying. Start being serious with your business. Start going to church. Start fasting. And see the warfare that will begin to come. Because they know if you start doing these things, you're about to break something. Because there is a covering cast around everybody on the face of the earth. Any man you see making impact has caught light. He said, darkness shall cover the earth. He said, gross darkness shall cover the people. But you, he said, arise, shine. And so you can't shine until you arise. And the way you arise is not to stand up. You arise by engaging principles and laws. And so when the devil sees that you start doing what the average man is not doing, he knows you are about to rise. And if you rise, you must shine.
And so what he will do is to use warfare to keep you where you are. And so I said, the way you get enlightenment is to break through. And you break through warfare. It's a forceful engagement. He said, the kingdom of God suffered violence. He said, the violent taketh it by force. Rise ye up. Take up thy journey. Go beyond the river Arnon. He said, behold, I have given unto you Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon. He said, but you must begin to contend with him in battle in order to possess the land. There are many things given to men, but they've not taken them. Because in the spirit, what you have is what you katalambano. You take it. Nobody will gift it to you. And the way you take it is by fighting. Too many believers are weak, complacent, and they are hoping things will happen to them. Things don't happen in this kingdom. Things are made to happen. And only warriors can make things happen. Your marriage will not happen. That job will not happen. That promotion will not happen. You will walk it. Even salvation, they say, walk out your salvation. If you are not walking it out violently and vigorously, you will be shocked that even the one that was meant for you, somebody else can rise up and contend for it. But because you have come to this conference, the tools for warfare will be handed to you. He said, the Lord, he teaches my hands to fight and my fingers to war. We don't fight because we're born warriors. We fight because the Holy Ghost taught us the ways of battle. As you walk out of this conference, what to do in order to conquer, the Holy Ghost will begin to reveal them to you. I said the third thing to do for enlargement is to have visions. Because it's a law in the spirit. Genesis 13:14. As far as your eyes can see, I have given you. That means everything is already yours, but you see to take. And so when the devil wants to stop you, he blinds you. And one of the things the God of this world is doing, according to 2 Corinthians 4:3, is that he is blinding men. And I said the way the devil blinds men is through carnality. People don't know that worldliness is a blinder. You just think it's a fashion. You think it's a show. You think it's a trend. There are no trends in the spirit realm. The spirit realm is beginning and end at the same time. You are the one walking through time calling things trend. Nothing is a trend in the spirit. The same way God sent apostles into the world to communicate his counsel. That's how the devil sends apostles through music. You stand up, you are singing vibrations that were concocted from the demonic realm. And you think you are having pleasure. You don't know you are darkening your spirit. And the point comes where it becomes difficult for you to see into the future God has planned for you. Because you sang songs that came from the pit of hell. You pursue things that were carnal. And the more you pursue them, the more blinded you become. He said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He said, they are foolishness unto him. And he said he cannot receive them because they are spiritually discerned. And so a man that loves this world will lose the power of discernment. And if you lose the power of discernment, you can no longer see into the things that were written concerning you before the foundations of the world. He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I ordained you to be a prophet. Everyone walking upon the face of the earth, the Alpha and Omega already wrote everything about your life. Even the dots in your destiny were captured. You are not designed to be creative. You were designed to be obedient. Because your paths have already been carved. But it will take sight in the spirit to be able to keep pace with the Holy Ghost. To keep pace. The journey of life, men cannot find it through their minds. They can only find it because they are revealed. That's why I said it's not given to man that walketh to order his step. There's a path that seemeth right unto a man. He said the end of it is death. But when your eyes are illuminated, you will take steps as the Holy Ghost leads you. But carnality will not let that happen. And so vision is the key to enlargement. And the law of vision states that it is what you see that you possess. The reason many people are confused is because they are not seeing. They have eyes, but they can't see. They are blinded. Matters of destiny, they are only revealed to those who can see from the realm of God. And the way to see is to hold on to him. Latch on to him. Stand and keep your watch. He said, I will stand upon my watch and see what he will say to me. Then he said, write the vision. Make it plain upon tables that he might run that read it. If you are not standing upon your watch, you can't see. Many things will come to blind you. And when you labor for a long time, you will discover you don't succeed by laboring. You succeed by being led. The poorest set of people on earth are laborers. But those who are led, they are captains. They are champions. They are the people who have visions. Number four, I said you are enlarged by taking advantage of your giftings, the graces that God has put in you. He said a man's gift maketh room for him. So a man's gift creates enlargement. But you see, if you don't pay attention to what God has given to you, you will labor with what is not your advantage. And that is what will make you average. The moment you start laboring from a point that you don't have an edge, you'll become like every other person. Imagine if I say I want to be a footballer. And then I'm hoping to play football with Messi. I will now be struggling to take selfie with Messi. Meanwhile, two of us are footballers. The money Messi gets from insurance, he will use it to pay for my whole career. Because my horn is not to pursue football. My horn is to search the holy writ and to talk the counsel of God. And so if everybody find their giftings, everybody will be a star. The reason some are stars and others are not is because those who found their giftings are operating in it. Those who didn't find their giftings are laboring in the dark. And he said, the labor of the foolish, it wearies every one of them because they know not how to enter the city. And so, how to open more space and create enlargement is to find your gift. Stay there. Somewhere, somehow, a distinction will come on you. It may not be immediate. Just be sharpening the edge of your weapon. Sharpen it well. The day of your manifestation, you will strike once. You will strike once. 5 minutes. You will just talk and the doors of nations will open. 5 minutes. Because when it's your gift, it doesn't take time. That grace comes to distinguish you. And everybody will seek after you as though you have become a gem that was found from the belly of the sea. A man's gift maketh room for him. And then I said, finally, it takes faithfulness. If you are not faithful, even God will be afraid to entrust you with more. Because more is only available to those who are faithful. We have a generation of people that are lascivious, careless, and irresponsible. A parable was told, I think in 1 Kings chapter 20 from verse 40. He said, my Lord gave me a servant to keep. And he said, if you miss this servant, your life will be demanded of you. How can they give you such a law? And you are not careful. And the man said, as I was busy here and there. That's one scripture that I will never forget. He said, as I was busy here and there, I lost the servant. The prophet now told him, you have passed your own judgment. You will die. And he said, you are the one. Don't be busy here and there. Focus on what God has committed to you and excel in it. Little by little, you will get there. It was Martin Luther that said, if you cannot fly, run. If you cannot run, walk. If you cannot walk, crawl. But by all means, get there. If you pay attention to what God has committed to you, there is no way your room will not be enlarged. He said, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He said, that man will stand before kings and not before men. He didn't state the type of business. It's not good business. Even a pure water seller, if he is diligent, one day, doors will open to him. It takes faithfulness for promotion to come. In Luke 16 verse 10, he said, if you are not faithful in little, you will not be faithful in much. These are golden principles for enlargement. These ones may not be spectacular. And usually, when God is teaching principles, he doesn't make them spectacular so that anybody can apply them. If you will give yourself to these things, you will marvel how your life will change. When I started working with God, I looked at some persons doing extraordinary things. And I said, no, I must be like this. My God, I saw Pastor Chris stepped into a stadium on white suit. And he would just go without preaching, straight to cripples. I said, wait, are these people really crippled? When I discovered they were really crippled, and I said, which Bible is he reading? I said, no, this is faith. Romans 12:3, he has dealt unto us the measure of faith. I went for the next meeting on white suit. And I was walking exactly like him. I was not in a rush. I walked into the meeting. Make sure I was not sweating. When I did like this, the person said, what? I had to go back to study. That was when I discovered there was a time when they prayed in the bush. There was a time they meditated on scriptures. There was a time where he would go to one person, lay hands, lay hands, lay hands, lay hands, pray, pray, and sweat. Lift the person up, he will fall. Lift up again. It took many years of journeying to come to a point where you do like this. A cripple walks. I didn't know that there was a process of faithfulness that necessitated that level of glory. I thought I could jump into it. That was when it dawned on me. I said, do you think all these men watching him, they don't want to be like that? It takes faithfulness after many years before that door opens. And so when a man is not faithful, the Holy Ghost tells you, fast once a week. You do it and then you come back after 4 months. You say, Oh, Father, forgive me. I will start again. Yes, you will start again, but you will start from where you stopped. He will forgive you, but you will not be enlarged. The Holy Ghost tells you, no lying again, no compromise. You do one, you compromise 10 times, you come back and say, Oh, merciful Father. Merciful Father will forgive you, but you will remain a child for a long time. He will forgive you, but he will not bend the laws of the spirit realm for you. Those laws are rigid. He said the standard of the law standeth sure. It will never change. It will never change. And so if it takes faithfulness for a man to be exalted, you must pass the test of faithfulness. Now, when you know these principles, your life becomes rigidly built that no wind can blow you down. You know, you can tell that these things will happen. Just like you know your name. And even if the whole demons in hell are mobilized, they can't stop what God wants to do with you. So it takes principles for enlargement to take place. That is the first thing I shared about enlargement. Tonight, I want to add 3 more. These 6 things I mentioned are principles for enlargement. But there are many more things for enlargement. Because there are some things God does through you, making you to become, and the other things God does around you. God does not only work through you. For example, as touching the subject of healing, God's plan is not for you to be healed through an anointing. God's plan is not for somebody to lay hands on you for you to receive healing. God's plan is actually for you to walk in divine health. But it will take many years of meditating on scriptures and building faith to walk in divine health. And if God insists that everybody must be healed through understanding of scripture and faith, how about the people that have 3 weeks to live? Their cases would have been hopeless. And so God allowed interventions. But over and above the intervention, there is a plan. Are we together? So there are things God is doing through you because those ones will make you. But over and above that, there are other things he's doing around you. So while you are being made, you should not be hopeless. And so, having shown you the principles that will make you, there are other things that are not necessarily going to make you, but they are advantageous realities put around you to help you engender enlargement while you are yet growing. And these are the few I want to share tonight. The first is the anointing. The anointing enlarges men. The Bible said in Isaiah 10:27, it said, the yoke shall be broken. The yoke is what constrains you. The yoke is what limits your potentials. The yoke is what reduces your capacity and compels you only to do one thing per time. But he said, the yoke shall be broken and the burdens shall be lifted off your shoulders because of the anointing. And so, one way God enlarges men is either to send the anointed in their direction or to put the anointing on their lives. The moment the anointing shows up, doors begin to open. The Bible said in Luke 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all. That is what creating a breakthrough system for everyone that is constrained or oppressed or suppressed of the devil. And so when the anointing shows up, one thing the anointing insists on doing is to open doors for you. One thing the anointing insists on doing is to create a system of advantage for you. In Luke chapter 10, verse 18 and 19, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me." To do what? To create enlargement, to create possibilities. He said, "To the one who is deaf is to unstop the deaf ear. The one who is blind is to open the blind eyes. The one who is kept in prison is to shatter the door so that liberty can be engendered." And so one other thing that provokes enlargement is the anointing. And every one of us here is anointed. That's the beautiful news. In the Old Testament, the anointing was only on the king, the prophet, and the priest. But in the New Testament, we have become priests, kings, and prophets. And so every one of us is anointed. That is the beauty of the technology of the New Testament. In the New Testament, you don't need a prophet to show up necessarily. Yes, God can send a prophet to you, and I'll talk about it. But you don't need a prophet to show up necessarily before you gain enlargement. There are things you begin to do that stirs the anointing that is on your inside. And when that anointing begins to flow, even the devil knows he cannot stand it. Because the anointing was given after the devil was defeated. He said, "Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Then he rose from the dead and came." And he said, "Not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power, and you shall be witnesses unto me." And so every one of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there's an anointing on our lives. And if you know what to do to that anointing, or with that anointing, no door can be shut to you. I don't know anything like protocols. I don't know anything like closed doors, because I know every door closed can be opened. And if it is not open, it can be broken. But it takes the operation of the anointing. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive an anointing. And that anointing is to your advantage, because God creates a system that is self-sufficient and self-sustaining. That's why God is not coming back to plant trees, because he put the seed in the tree. When you plant the seed, the tree grows. The tree produces the seed, and the seed produces the tree. And so the cycle continues. When God put the anointing on your life, he gave you everything you need. If you need God, stir the anointing. When the anointing shows up, God shows up. When the issue is handled, you become like the God that produced the anointing. And suddenly, your life moves from one level of glory to another level of glory. But there is a law for the anointing. The first law for the anointing is that God must be with you. He said, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good." Why? Because God was with him. And so a man who wants to always provoke the anointing must build a life of intimacy with God. If you have intimacy with God, the anointing keeps flowing. And when the anointing keeps flowing, it's a master of turning oppression around. Because everywhere the devil creates oppression, that's where the anointing shines. The anointing is not spectacular unless there is a crisis. What is the use for the healing anointing if there is no sick person? And so the glory of the anointing is manifested when there is crisis. The glory of light is manifested where there is darkness. And so when God gave us the anointing, God turned us to the solution the world is looking for. And so problems no longer scare us. Problems give us a platform for manifestation. The platform of the believer is not an altar. Make no mistakes about it. There are many places where people are struggling. It's my turn to lead choir today. It's my turn to preach today. Wake up from your dream. This is not our altar. This is not our platform. Our platforms are the crises of life. Our platform are the contradictions of life. When you show up and they say there is death, you say, "No, I came with life." When you show up and they say there is confusion, you say, "I come with direction." When you show up and they say things are not working, you say, "Now things will work, because I came with an anointing." And the reason the anointing will work any day, anytime, is because God is with you. God is with you. And so when a man is building intimacy with God, there is something he's doing. He said, "Blessed is he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High." That person abides under the shadow of the Almighty. And so when a man begins to build intimacy, the heavens come upon that man. And he said, "The arrows that fly by day cannot hurt you. The noisome pestilence that wasted in noonday cannot hurt you." He said, "A thousand shall fall by your side, 10,000 by by your right hand. He shall not come near you. See, the technology of the anointing is not only to solve problems, it's to stop problems from coming around. And so there is a realm you get to in the anointing where you don't just address problems. Problems don't come anymore. They say 10,000 fell yesterday. You say, oh God, help them. 5,000 fell yesterday. Oh God, help them. He said, but nothing shall come near you. Why? He said, because you have made God, even the Most High, your habitation. And so you have become the dwelling place of the anointing. This is why we speak enlargement. We speak enlargement because there is something that we carry. We are not ordinary. I may have come here with a suit, and it looks like everybody is wearing a suit, but in an addition to that suit, I came clothed. And what I came with is an anointing. That anointing, you don't buy it. That anointing came from a spirit. And because I have a relationship with that spirit, the overflow of that spirit is what rubs off on me. And so when I come to a place, the manifestations you see are the realities that emanate from the realms of that spirit. It's an anointing that every believer carries. But the problem is, we are addicted to Facebook. We are addicted to Big Brother Niger. We are addicted to the trends of the world system. And so the anointing is sensitive. When you embrace something else, the anointing will go back. It's like snail. It will just go back and congeal in your spirit. It will just be there. And so a man who is dying of sickness actually carries a grace for raising the dead. But he's not aware that that anointing has congealed. But if you know that your enlargement is dependent on the anointing, what do you do every morning? As you wake up in the morning, you are checking for the move of the Spirit. Precious Holy Ghost, where are you this morning? And sometimes when you master this, while you are waking up, the Holy Ghost is already singing on your inside. You will wake up and meet a fellowship that was going on while you were sleeping. Because it is your body that sleeps, your spirit is awake. Your spirit does not sleep. And so while you are sleeping, even your spirit is still engaging with the Holy Ghost. And so sometimes you wake up to be invited into a meeting that was taking place while you were sleeping. You wake up and the song is playing. Sometimes you wake up and prayers are going on in your spirit because the Holy Ghost is praying with your spirit. It said the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead shall quicken. There's a quickening technology. It said the spirit shall groan in your spirit with words that cannot be uttered. And so sometimes you wake up from bed tired, but your spirit is agile because there is a ceremony. There is a procession. There is a service that is going on in your spirit that your senses are not aware of. It's all the technology of the anointing. That's why sometimes you wake up in the morning, you step out with favor because what the anointing was stirring before you woke up was favor. Do you know that when we sleep, our activities don't end? Our spirit is still working. It's because of the anointing. And so we are not ordinary people. We are not ordinary. Everybody who seeks enlargement must master the rhythm of the anointing. There are some of you here, your anointing functions with sound. It functions with worship. And so every day, while you are worshiping, you are singing. While you are driving, you are singing. It's not because you love songs. Make no mistake about it. You are not singing because you love songs. You are singing because your spirit is responding to the vibrations of the Holy Ghost on your inside. Did you not know that before keyboards were produced, before guitars were produced, there were strings that were wired into our spirit? Do you think we fellowship with God through the keyboard? No! There are strings. That's how angels were made. And that's how men were made. He spoke concerning Lucifer, the son of the morning. He said, before you were created, thy tap and thy tablets were indeed from the day of thy creation. And so when God wants to have fellowship with you, what does he do? He touches the chords of your heart. There are strings in your heart. And those strings are the rhythms that provoke the anointing of God in your spirit, man. There is an anointing that you carry, but you don't stay it. There are some of us here that the anointing we carry operates by prayer. When you start praying, the waters begin to rise. Kaka, as you are praying, sometimes the thing stirs you. And you are alone in your room and you get drunk. Then you know what Paul meant when he said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking to yourself in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual song, making melody. Paraduata, teteke, sazano, sasakia. And then as you are praying, while you are running, you are not running. That thing you call running is not a race. You are actually moving from one dimension to another, from one favor to another, from one glory to another. There was a time I was praying. And as I was praying, I started running in my room. And when I realized I wanted to stop, he said, don't stop. If you stop, you reduce your possibility. He said, those steps you are taking, you are numbering the nations you are conquering. Because when the anointing comes, anything is possible. That's how God created the world. He said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he said, the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And he said, the Spirit of God hovered upon the face of the deep. When the anointing begins to move, that's the time to create. And so sometimes when you are stirred because the anointing has been charged, then you enter the second phase of enlargement, which is prophecy. Prophecy. When the anointing is stirred, that's the time to talk. Don't just talk because you have a tongue. We were created in the order of a creator. And so what it does is what we do. But there's an atmosphere for creation. When that atmosphere is there, then prophecy is awoke. Enlargement is deliberate. Somebody will sense a river beginning to rise. Sometimes you sense it from here, and then it begins to bubble. As it's bubbling, you are trying to compose yourself. You say, come on, I'm a gentleman. I'm wearing a suit. And then as you are doing it, it's rising and it comes to your chest. And it becomes difficult to contain. You are trying to couple yourself, but it's now a challenge. After a while, it begins to break out of your tongue. And then you can't sit anymore. Because if you sit, you will explode. That's when the eternity that is locked up in your heart begins to manifest. You are not small. No. He said he has put eternity in our hearts. But it will take the stirring of the anointing for you to create the world that is in your spirit. That's why he said, out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living waters. You don't have a well in your spirit. You have many rivers. Not just one, not two, not three. Out of Eden alone, the Bible said, four rivers came out of Eden with four heads. But in you, they are uncountable rivers. He called them rivers of living waters. They are rivers in your spirit. You have to give it expression. And the way to give it expression is to stir the anointing. When you stir the anointing, the God dimension that is in your spirit begins to manifest. Holy Ghost, and you need no man to teach you. He said that anointing itself teaches you. There's an anointing that you carry. That anointing can make you operate like a creator. It can make you operate like an inventor. It can make you operate in anything that God represents. But how well do you stay it? Can we pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute? Can we pray? Can we pray? Yeah! Anybody can achieve anything if he understands the protocol. Let me show you how the protocol of prophecy works. Number one, speak only under the right atmosphere. When the anointing is there, anything you say will happen, whether good or evil. This is why when you come to church, be careful. When the waters of your spirit begins to flow, talk only what the word says. Because that's a moment of creation. He said the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The moment the spirit began to move, he said God said. Because even God knows the protocol. Creation will not happen until the speakings of God rise upon the move of the spirit. The first protocol of the prophetic is that you speak when the spirit begins to move. And that's what the anointing comes to do. I prophesy over someone tonight. Everything that was a limitation in your life, they are cancelled now. Enlargement is the law of the anointing. Stir the anointing and speak, and your words become prophecy. And the second law is the prophetic. When prophecy comes, it breaks protocols. The Bible said in 2 Kings chapter 1, chapter 7 from verse 1 to 6, there was a city that was besieged, and the Bible said evil women began to eat their children, and the king was helpless. Suddenly, they sent to the prophet. And when the prophet showed up, he said, by this time tomorrow, he said, a cup of barley shall be sold for 1 shekel. And the technocrat sat down and said, listen, I know God has power. I know about the window of heaven. He said, even if the window of heaven is open, you can't reset national economy overnight. The guy didn't know the power of prophecy. When prophecy goes forth, it breaks protocol. So I prophesy over you. Every protocol that needs to break for your enlargement, they break now. They break now. They break now. Let your chamber pass forth. Let your chamber pass forth. In the name of Jesus. Oh, my God. Lift your hands toward heaven. Hear me please. Oh dear Lord. There's a river stirred. There's a bubbling of the spirit. And there are 7 of you God wants to anoint specially. Even this evening now. There's a special oil. Very, very strange operation of the spirit. The Bible said God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. That handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from the body of Paul, and they were casting out devils, and they were healing the sick. There are some of you here that God wants to wrought special miracles on ground, online. Ushers, please help me. If I find 3 of them, I just want to lay hands on them quickly. There is a special grace, a special oil about to come on some of you. For some of you, it's for wealth creation. For some of you, it's for healing. Radical operation of the healing anointing. For some of you, it's for favor. Even such as was upon Esther, that the king was willing to give him half of his kingdom. Wherever these ones are now, I don't know where you are standing, but right now I decree by the Spirit, I decree by the Spirit, I decree by the Spirit, let the hand of God come upon those ones, those special messengers, from the left to the right, from the front to the back. Take that grace now, take that grace now, take that grace now, take
grace now. Ushers, help them quickly. Barako Bakatiata Ba. Shedegapana. Barakato, help that sister. So she's not injured. Baruata, Badakos, Shedeganate, and Zoria, Barakato, Shayat, Eanote, Apirata, Baranda Susa. Out of my belly. My belly shall flow rivers,
rivers of living water.
So out of my belly,
out of my belly shall flow
rivers,
rivers of living water.
Hear me. Men don't take over because they are lucky. There's no such thing like luck. Nothing like that exists. He said, my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of the unicorn. He said, thou shalt anoint me with a fresh oil. Somebody is receiving a fresh impartation, a fresh anointing, because horns have been exalted. And I stretch hands over you now. Wherever you are, everyone receiving that stirring now, everyone whose horn, oh dear Lord Jesus, somebody is about to ascend in leadership. There is a horn for leadership. When that horn is exalted, even nations will bow to you. I decree now, every horn God is exalting, I speak over those horns and I command the horns, grow now, grow now, grow now, grow now. Horns of politics, horns of business, horns of the academia, horns of media, I call you forth. Grow, grow. Banta parasta, jabratake stakabina talash, meano sapa, brakatina, sedegabara tijasanda. Banta paraste, my belly shall flow.
Oh, rivers, rivers of living water.
I decree your manifestation. I decree your sin. There is a special grace coming upon three persons for leadership. Our ranks are depleted. And so God wants to exalt men by his mighty hand. There's a special grace. These ones will speak to power. They will speak to government. They will occupy thrones. And they will handle scepters on ground and online. Wherever you are now, I bring you the anointing of the king, such as was upon David. Father, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, everyone with that leadership scepter, I decree now, let the fire rest upon that one. Holy Ghost, find them now. Take that power. Take that power. Help them, ushers. Take that power. Please help them quickly. It takes a horn to address systems and governments. It takes a horn. It's not about oratory. It's about power. There is a power that can address thrones. And so by the Spirit, everyone here ordained for such dimension, I bring you that grace. Step into that grace now. you, Father. Enlargement comes by prophecy. There is a wisdom for witty invention. That wisdom makes a man become a star. Nations seek them. Men seek them. That is the light that kings seek. The light kings pursue is the illumination of wisdom. I speak over you now. The wisdom that invents, the wisdom that creates, the wisdom that makes to shine by the Spirit, wherever you are, I release that grace upon you now. Step into that wisdom. Step into that wisdom. Such as was upon Solomon. Such as was upon Bezalel and Oholiab. Such as was upon the wise men of Shiloh. Such as was upon the sons of Issachar. I release that wisdom now. Know your times. Know your seasons. Create and invent. Command one's attention. Thank you, Father. I decree over you, your best becomes your least. Your greatest becomes your smallest. Your greatest achievement becomes your least achievement. From today, the Lord mantle you with speed. The Lord mantle you with acceleration. The Lord mantles you with capacity. By the wind of the Spirit, step into that grace now. Enlargement comes by the anointing. Enlargement comes by the oppressions of the prophetic. And finally, enlargement comes through thanksgiving. In Jeremiah 30 verse 19, he said, out of them shall proceed the voice of thanksgiving and the voice of melody. And he said, I will increase them. They shall not be small. I will magnify them. They shall not be weak. You cannot be enlarged until you know thanksgiving. In John chapter 6 verse 6, he said, he lifted up the bread and gave thanks and broke it and he multiplied. In Acts 2:47, he said, they praised and thanked God, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There is a daily expansion. There is a daily increase. He said in 1 Chronicles 12:22, daily men joined themselves to David until his host became like the host of God. Who is David? David is a psalmist, a king of thanksgiving. When you thank God, things shift in your favor. Even foundations can be uprooted by reason of thanksgiving. He said in Acts 16:25, Paul and Silas, they were in prison. He said at midnight they prayed and they gave praises. And the angel of the Lord came down. The foundation of the prison was shaking. I decree over you, anything that has a foundational impact, negating your destiny, negating your progress, they are hereby canceled tonight. I command negative foundations to shatter tonight. I speak increase over you. I speak expansion. I speak dominion. As you walk out of this place, you step into another level. You step into another dimension. Beyond what you know, begin to receive. Begin to see. Beyond what you qualify for, begin to have. I speak forth by prophecy. And I decree it is established in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and give Jesus a clap. Give Jesus a shout. Give Jesus a praise. Celebrate him. As you give thanks, you are multiplied. Omemma na rekele dimma. Omemma na rekele. Omemma na rekele dimma. Omemma chimo na rekele. Omemma na rekele dimma. Please leave her for some time. Leave her. Omemma na rekele dimma. Omemma chimo na rekele.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.